Well, will there be life on Mars 30 years from now? Space mining specialist Serkan Sadam believes the red planet could be colonised by 2050. So far, only uncrewed spacecraft have landed there on surfaces described as dusty and dry. Known as the red planet, it is 272.77 million kilometres from Earth. Decades of exploration have added to the knowledge about Mars, including that at one time there were flowing liquids there, forming streams and valleys. Now robotic activity is paving the way for potentially sending humans to the planet. Dr. Serkan Sadam is the Deputy Director of the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research and is also a Professor of Mining at the University of New South Wales. He also works with NASA. Serkan, welcome to 9 to Noon.
Good morning, all.
Is there a reason why Mars is such a source of fascination of all the other planets?
Look, Mars is the closest planet to Earth, and it's most viable because the environmental conditions are closer to Earth compared to other planets in our solar system. So obviously, Moon is the closest, but Moon is really dependent on the Earth, and it's not really a livable place. I mean, I'm not saying that the Mars is livable for now.
However, we've always wondered, haven't we? We've invented Martians, we've had movies of people sending the first space scientists into to Mars, and we'll never forget the potato scene. Let's talk about how much closer we are getting. The achievement of landing the Perseverance there last month, NASA's robotic vehicle, how significant a step was that to what we know and what we need to know?
Look, it's quite important, of course, because the, you know, Mars Science Laboratory Curiosity rover, it's been sent in 2012. And then, you know, that was really the biggest achievement for Mars investigations. The Perseverance is really expected to provide answers for whether forms of life ever existed on this planet, on Mars. But it's also designed to help us with challenges of future human expeditions there. It's sort of more advanced version of the Curiosity. But, you know, the history tells us Mars' interest of human beings started in the 1960s. I mean, mainly Russians and, you know, Americans, NASA. But NASA had a big, you know, head in because they sent the equipment. I think it's around eight rovers being sent to, or robots sent to Mars so far by NASA. I think the Perseverance might be the ninth one.
There are hopes that ultimately a future spacecraft might retrieve samples that the Perseverance will be obtaining while it's working there. In fact, we talked to a young New Zealand scientist working on just that project. What is it that we are looking for? What will the most significant science be? Obviously, any signs of life formerly, and where there was water, there's a potential for life of some kind. But then second, what are you really looking for when it comes to laying the groundwork for sending a human mission there?
Last couple of years, there is a new term being developed. It's called in-situ resource utilization. So let me explain that. So humans traveling to deep space for colonization will need to generate their own products with local materials. That's called in-situ resource utilization. So instead of bringing materials from Earth to Mars or Moon or wherever we are, we produce the materials from there. It means, to me, it's called mining in Earth. So the focus is now is for colonization in either on Mars or Moon is finding water. So all focus is really accessing the relevant resources. So water is number one because it's supposed to lie.
Is it likely that water now can, and water sources now can and will be discovered? Would we not have seen them with some of the previous missions? Would we not have seen evidence of any water sources existing now? What we have seen is examples of where water once existed, right?
No, actually, there is evidence for water on Mars, I mean, as well as on the Moon. It's in the either in the equatorial regions or on the polar regions, but mainly in polar regions are in the ice form, but equatorial regions are in the hydrated minerals. So it's like similar to, I'm just trying to explain it in a simple way. So it's similar to like mineralizations in earth, like gold and copper. It's already embedded in the minerals, which we call it hydrated minerals. So we need to extract these minerals to get the the water from these in the equatorial regions. Of course, it sounds like a really mining activity, which is a mining activity.
How would that convert to a water supply? Like, how much would you need to convert to a water supply?
That's a very good question, which nobody knows yet, because we don't have any samples. However, the work, you know, the currently technology is available. It's called hydrolysis, so we can extract this material and then using the electrolysis techniques to separate hydrogen and oxygen from water, from this soil, and then we can use the hydrogen oxygen for energy as well. So that's another important thing, that which is a big challenge, is accessing the energy on Mars.
So one, water; two, an energy source. What about the human body and the atmosphere of Mars? What's the great challenge as far as that is concerned?
Yeah, that's a very good order. Actually, it was in my order as well. The third number, third is human interaction and behavior within the space environment. So, you know, International Space Station in the space, astronauts go there and stay there for a long time. I mean, I think the record is on astronaut in 1 year. So journey to Mars, it's going to take 6 to 8 months to get there. And to be there, you're going to stay either 20-something days or 4 years. The reason is that because of we have to reach Mars from Earth when the Mars and Earth very close each other with their orbital reactions. So when we get there in 20-plus days, they become quite far apart from each other. And then once you miss that point, so you can't go back to Earth, means that I think it's 22 or 24 days, we can stay, or we have to wait 4 years. In these 4 years, 2 years, there is no communication with Earth, because between Earth and Mars will be sun. There is no communication. So what I'm trying to say that we're either going to be stay there for 20-something days or 4 years. So to stay there 4 years, we need the resources to look after the human we sent there, crew sent there. That's, I think, is the biggest challenge. In terms of your question, Mars is, as I said, closer to Earth in regards to the environmental conditions, because the temperature we can really cope, because it's around 20-something centigrade during the day. At night, it might be minus 120 or plus 120 during the day. It depends where you are. It is possible, of course, with the proper suit. And of course, what you said, it's 1,000 times less atmospheric conditions on Mars. What you see in the movies, it's a blue sky, blue-colored sky on Mars, is not possible. It's a red planet. You can't really, it's quite a dense atmosphere. You can't really see anything rather than the red color. So what you see in the photos of Mars, it's actually, they already filtered to show you. So these are the really challenge. Of course, the radiation is the challenge. Extreme corrosion environment is the challenge. And the gravity, 1 to 3 compared to Earth, might be for our advantage for moving things around easier.
NASA's hoping to land the first humans on Mars by the 2030s. Elon Musk's SpaceX has set itself a typically bold target of 2026. Are either of them achievable?
As a scientist, as an academic, I hate to say it's impossible, because I don't believe anything is impossible. Elon Musk said everything, whatever he said, he's done it. But the timing was always wrong. So, I mean, in the science terminology, they got Elon Musk timing. So he did what he said, but timing was always wrong. according to my knowledge. So I think it's going to happen. And 3-4 years, it's too short for me because I don't think the autonomous systems are ready. We can't just send human being there before making the establishment, like water being extracted, water being separated, and the water is ready, hydrogen being separated from water. It's also ready for in any condition to return people back. So we can't take risks. So therefore, I think 2026, very close to me, 2030 plus years doable, but 2050, sending 1 million people, maybe some number of people, yes, but I can't say 1 million. You know, it's impossible to predict that. It's totally related to robotics and how we plan.
Forgive me asking this, because on the one hand, it's an incredibly stupid question. On the other, we are facing the existential crises in some instances that we are, as a species, on the beautiful planet that we have. The question a lot of people have is why? Why do so many brilliant minds, you know, focus their entire careers on this when the need for their abilities, one would think, could be so much better focused on our issues now? Can you answer it?
I mean, the answer is very, very clear to me. It's actually, there is no... It's the same thing that what we've done in the 1500s. To moving around Earth and trying to pass the big oceans, which we know nothing about it, on the other side. And we went to America and we called America, and then same reason New Zealand and Australia in a couple of hundred years later. Why? Because of the resources. Why? Because we have the curiosity. We want to discover new places which humans can colonize. I think this curiosity still continues and the same. But the big difference is now between the 1500s, we really know where we're going and we got the really established risk management tools and experience and knowledge. We will not allow people to die on the way.
Thank you. Serkan Seidem is a space mining specialist. He works with the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research, deputy director there, and also professor of mining at the University of New South Wales, and also works with NASA.